Frustration.
Pain.
Sickness.
Barrenness.
Disease.
Recession.
Lack.
Poverty.
Failure.
Despair.
Darkness shall cover the earth.
Gross darkness to people.
But the glory of the Lord shall arise upon thee.
So, cheer up, rejoice.
Your change has come.
God sent forth his word.
And that word healed them.
And delivered them from all their destruction.
Join Apostle Joshua Selman of Eternity Network International as he takes you on a journey into God's healing and restoring word. Its intimacy, its partnership, its fellowship.
Lord Jesus, tonight we pray that you open our eyes. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have come to feast upon the bread of the Spirit, and we ask that our eyes be open. In the name of Jesus Christ, let there be no distractions. Holy Spirit, we submit to your wisdom, we submit to your authority. You are the rabbi tonight. Teach us what will give us power in the heavens. Take away error from our lives, O God. Take away darkness and confusion. Bring light in our lives that will give us authority indeed. Let the laws of the Spirit no longer be foreign unto us. Teach us the art of victory. In the name of Jesus Christ. Again, greet one another. Walk up to 10 people. Greet them. Smile. Give them a good hug. Make sure you greet everyone around you and then leave your seat again. It's part of the meeting. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Mighty God.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You are the King. There is none other. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You are the King. There is none other. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Hold on. Simple song says,
yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You are the King. There is none other. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Can we try it just one time, every one of us? Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You are the King. There is none other. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Sing one more time.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord, you are the King. There is none other.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yeah.
shout of praise, everyone. Hallelujah. Please be seated. God bless you. Galatians chapter 2. Thank you. Galatians chapter 2 from verse 2. We'll continue from where we stopped yesterday. And the Holy Spirit will help us. Galatians chapter 2 verse 2. It's important for us to contend for revelation. Hallelujah. Revelation is key in the spirit. I'd like us to read the first 6 words you can see on the projector there. Are you ready? 1, 2, read. How did I go up? And I went up, not by desire, by revelation. In the spirit you rise up by revelation. It says, and I went up by revelation. There was light that took me from one level. So your transition in the spirit is according to access to the light that you have. It was said of them that were of Naphtah and Zebulun that the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. And when that light comes upon you like the prophet, so you will arise and then you will shine. He said, I went up. Tonight may we go up by revelation. I trust that we will leave the realm where we are. We will leave our plane of existence.
He's calling us deeper,
for all the wonderful messages we have had, but there is more. There is more. That's what I'm singing. This cannot be all of it. Thank God for all of the teachings we hear on TV, but there has to be more.
We're tired of the status quo. There's gotta be more than this. We're tired of the status quo. There's gotta be more than this.
That's why you're here tonight.
For desperate people do desperate things, and we press in. We want more, Lord. We are the desperate people. We want more, Lord. It's gotta be more than this. It's gotta be more. It's gotta be more than this. It's gotta be more. It's gotta be more. It's gotta be more than this.
There must be a hunger in you. You must allow the Holy Spirit to plant that holy desire within your spirit. that forces you to be dissatisfied with what you know at this level. No matter how much of a local champion you are, no matter the little miracles, little revelation, little prophecy, little anointing, you've got to know that there is more. I'm not doubting the fact that you have prayed for the sick. I'm not doubting the fact that you see, but there is more. We owe our generation a debt we must pay. Hallelujah. And tonight we have come to sharpen ourselves. It says, for as iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. We have come to sharpen ourselves. Hallelujah. Yesterday we began to talk about a number of things, and we shared how that I intended discussing, although a major part of what I wanted to talk about yesterday, for time's sake and because of the way the Holy Spirit took the meeting, we could not talk much. I started talking yesterday about mysteries. Can we still remember? Mysteries. Hallelujah. How that this becomes for us our spiritual advantage in the kingdom. The advantage of the believer is not just that he is born again and one day he will spend eternity in heaven, although that is important. But the advantage of a believer as far as victory in this earth realm and dominion is concerned is that access is given unto us to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Matthew 13 from verse 8 reassures us. Matthew 13 from verse 8. Do we have the projection again? Okay. Matthew 13 verse 8. Is that Matthew 13 verse 8? Where is that scripture? It has been given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. 13 verse what? 11. Okay, so verse 11. Just three verses. Let's read it together. Everyone, one, two, read. He answered and said unto them, because it is what? Stop. Everyone say, it is given unto me to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Say it one more time. It is given unto me to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Hallelujah. What are the mysteries of the kingdom? The codes of operation, the laws, God's way of operating his system. A mystery is a hidden truth, a reality that is not accessible to everyone. The Bible says the secret things of the Lord are not with Christians. They are not with everybody. They are with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenants. The secret things. So God has secret things. In fact, not only secret things, he has a secret place. If you can find where that location is and you dwell there, the Bible says he that dwells not in the public location, in the secret place of the Most High. There is a spiritual location called the secret place of the Most High. You shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we began to explore mysteries. We talked about a lot of things yesterday, just opening us up to the realities that all that we see in our system is not all that there is. Hallelujah. How that a dispensation will coincide with the fullness of time, and certain mysteries will be revealed when that happens. Hallelujah. And that we have access to understand these mysteries, and that on the strength of the mysteries that we know, we will walk experientially in dominion. Say amen. So your dominion and my dominion in the kingdom is not just at the mercy of impartations alone and speakings alone, but it's upon the strength of our access to not just knowing the revelation of the kingdom,
but understanding how they operate. And I told you, true revelation is not knowing what the word of God has said. True revelation is knowing how to make that word work in your life. It's not enough to know what God has said. You must know how to make it work in your life. Psalm 82, speaking from verse 5, says, they know not, neither will they understand. It says, they grope in darkness, and so the earth is out of course. Verse 6 said, have I not said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High? He said, but ye shall die like mere men, and fall like one of these princes. Verse 5 says, they know not. They know not. So the problem there is ignorance. They know not. Neither will they understand. They grope in darkness. And they do not sustain the spiritual technology to keep the earth in that spiritual equilibrium. There is an equilibrium that the earth was designed to sustain. Hallelujah. And so what happens is that demonic spirits and witchcraft and all of these manifestations of darkness, they, by operating spiritual laws, they tilt the equilibrium of the earth to their favor, and things begin to flow in their direction. So the Bible says, they know not, neither will they understand. No, let's go back. Psalm 82. The scripture we just left. They know not, neither do they understand. It says they walk to and fro. What version is that? Do you have Amplified? Okay, just let's have King James. Is there King James? Okay. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk in darkness, and what? All the foundations of the earth are out of course, like an object that the bolt and nut has removed. What do you expect? Chaos. It loses balance. And remember, I began to tell you that before the creation of Genesis chapter 1 from verse 3, how that there have been other creations. Did I say that yesterday? Hallelujah. And Job 38, hallelujah, begins to give us an instance of these kinds of creation. How that the earth was created with foundation. Geography tells us that the earth is round or geoid in shape. Is that true? But the Bible refuses that theory. It tells us that the earth has pillars that support it. The earth has exact foundations. Where the foundations are, we do not know. We must tap into another mystery of the kingdom that opens our eyes to see where the foundations of the earth be fastened. And that becomes the strength of witchcraft. Because by the spiritual advantage of age, you see, the devil has the advantage of age over believers, because he has been there a long time. The Bible calls him that old serpent. So even as a serpent, he has been there a long time. Not that old ex-archangel, that old serpent. So he has the advantage of time. We began to share yesterday how that creation did not start with Adam. Before Adam came into the scene, a lot had been happening. Is that true? Those of you who study archaeology or geography or any of these kinds of things, they carbon date rocks and they tell you they are millions of years. They tell you they were beings and creatures that existed in the earth. Dinosaurs. Is that true? It's not a lie. They have the fossils to prove that they were inhabitants. And beneath the earth, they have found several creatures and fossils that show us that a lot happened in the earth realm before the arrival of Adam. It was the judgment of Lucifer and the war in heaven that led to the darkness in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. The Bible says, now the earth was dark and without form. God withdrew the light. There was water everywhere. Flood is a symbol of judgment in scripture. And so when it was time for God to recreate the earth again, he said, let there be light. Not sunlight.
Sunlight was brought a few verses later on. That light is what the Bible tells us in the book of John, that it became the life of men. The life-giving factor of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And so we understand. In fact, the Bible tells us, the apostle himself speaking in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning from verse 1, he says, so now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He said, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Hallelujah. And then in verse 3, he says, through faith we understand. We were not there, but through the instrument of faith we understand that the walls, the system was framed. He uses a language of a construction, not the language appear. He said, through faith we understand that the world was what? Framed by the word of God. Through faith we understand. So you must understand the operation. Hallelujah. So when you understand the mysteries of the kingdom, when a doctor looks at a patient and the patient starts throwing up, when other people are running around, the doctor stands on the strength of the superior information that he knows. And you can see the patient, the doctor treating the patient as if you expect the doctor to panic, and you're running, don't let my son die, and the doctor says it's all right, it's a simple case. Simple case. When he's vomiting blood, the doctor says he's all right. There's just one injection we'll give him, and then he'll take a few drugs and he'll be fine. And you're there at home wondering, and the guy is jacking up and down, but the doctor told you it's all right. Because in the place of study, the doctor has learned that regardless of the symptoms, there is something you can give the patient that addresses the problem. Fear is not only a spirit. Fear is the resultant effect of ignorance. It's not only the spirit of fear. Children fear because they do not know. You hold a toy gun and a small child begins to cry and is afraid of the sound of a car or the sound of your grinding machine, because based on the age of that child, there is no knowledge. Is that true? So when we become strong in the spirit, revelation and the understanding of the mysteries of the kingdom begin to swallow up fear. So when you see people panicking, you come and you say, it's well, God is faithful. Hallelujah. When there is a great mountain before you and everyone is panicking, how will we do this, how will we do that, you just laugh and say, God is faithful. And everybody is looking at you and say, are you okay? Let's be real. Wisdom is profitable to direct. Have you heard all those kinds of twisted scriptures to mean we are afraid? Let's be logical. And you are speaking on the strength. That's why when you are talking to people, don't be angry with them. First, discern the spiritual platform from which they are operating on. So that when they are afraid, you will know whether you are colleagues in the spirit or you will be a comforter to them. Hallelujah. When Jesus was walking on water, they had never known that a man can walk on water. And when they saw him, they were afraid. The Bible says they thought he was a ghost while he was walking on water. Because they understand that ghosts are light. They don't have weight. They really do not have weight. That's why when people have out-of-body experiences, they feel light all of a sudden. You see, because there are three things that make for weight in the body of man: water, your bones, and your flesh. Is that true? The Bible says we are members of his flesh, his bones. So when you are in the spirit, you do not have that limitation. That's why in the spirit, you can be here right now and then you can be in the United States at once. Is that true? John was in the Isle of Patmos And at once, he said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And at once he appeared in heaven. Hallelujah. It is the same spiritual technology that your GSM phone operates on. You call it waves. We call it spiritual operations. So when you type your text message, the moment you press send, time no longer becomes a factor. And it moves through the realm of the spirit. That's the reason why it arrives in seconds. So someone is in London and you send a text message right now. Send! And it arrives. Is that true? Now when it arrives there, if the person's phone is not configured to receive it, the person may experience a delay. But that does not mean you did not send it. The limitation was in the person. That's how God speaks to us and many of us do not receive. God does not speak English. His language is light. He doesn't speak English. He doesn't speak Greek. God is light. He speaks as light. So when that light comes upon your spirit man, when it goes to the realm of your mind, the language you have learned, that word begins to, through the words that are resident in you, form the communications of that light, and then you receive it. So your level of renewal and your level of conformity to the word of God helps your understanding the voice of the spirit. Are we following? Praise the Lord. So say mysteries. That's what we must know. Even herbalists and witch doctors know that there are levels in the occultic realm. Is that true? A particular herbalist can look and say, this situation, the person who taught me stopped the curriculum here, and I do not know how to access this kind of problem. But go to Baba somebody. That man is powerful. Why? Because there is something more. The difference between a captain in the army and a general is that the general went for an extra training. There is something more. Jeremiah 33 verse 3 says, call unto me and I will answer. And then it says, I will what? Show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I will show you what you have not yet known, but you desire to know. Oh, there are many things we need. Brothers and sisters, ignorance will punish you in this realm. There are many things we need to know. I am obsessed about learning the operation of the kingdom. There were certain people in ancient time. They were called knights. The Greek word for them is the word apostolos, envoys of the king. They were special marshals, special officers. Hallelujah. The brightest and the finest of the king's intelligence. Both in terms of war, in terms of diplomacy. Hallelujah. And in terms of wisdom. These men were subject to certain rugged trainings. And on the strength of that training, they were called knights or apostles, as we know, apostolos. So whenever there was danger, listen, in ancient times when they built castles, there were secret rooms in those castles. Are you getting my point? Even the citizens of that kingdom, for some of you who have watched all these kinds of Scottish films, you know that you can see a kingdom, a castle, but there are tunnels there that nobody ever knows. There are secret rooms and secret doors. There are certain places where they hid the treasures of the king. Only these mysteries, these men were taught these things. So that when it was time for war and the soldiers had attacked, there was a code that the king will operate and it will open a certain door and he will escape. Are you getting what I'm saying? There were certain doors in ancient times. You don't use key, you use magic words. And the magic words were hidden in scrolls and tied. They were under lock and key. Only these knights had access to them. So when they capture the treasures of the kingdom, the king can send just three knights. and they will go to the enemy's camp, invade them, thousands of people, and take back the treasure on the strength of their intelligence. They were taught how to fight with swords. They were taught how to fight with bow. They were taught how to fight with a sling. They were intelligent men. It was on account of this that Daniel and the three Hebrew boys were called to be trained in the science of the Babylonians, to make them apostles, envoys. Hallelujah. And so the king showed them these mysteries. And I told us yesterday, I said, what do you know that sponsors your confidence in the kingdom? You can't be confident standing on nothing. Are you getting what I'm saying? Sister, what gives you confidence that you are going to marry? Because you are a Christian? Have you not seen many Christians who are not married? What gives you confidence that you will give birth to a child? Everybody say light. Say revelation. Say mysteries. Man of God, what gives you confidence that your ministry is going to grow and last? Hallelujah. It has been given unto me to know the mysteries of the kingdom, and on grounds of that mystery I will stand in dominion and I will legislate on behalf of heaven. Praise the Lord. Just a quick recap for those of us who could not make it yesterday, and let's look at our course content. We had a course content, remember? Those of you who are just coming, this is a school, and we have a curriculum we are following. Yes, I told us that we are going to look at God's prophetic blueprint. We did look at it, Ephesians 1 verse 10, how that in the dispensation of times, all things will be headed up in Christ. And I told us that God's idea is that Jesus Christ submits to the authority of the Father, the Holy Spirit together with the bride, or the Spirit and the bride, submits to the authority of Jesus Christ, and by dominion the church, the body of Christ, will now force the world to submit to the authority of Christ. Hallelujah. Let's look at one scripture on that. I can't touch that now because our time, we may not have all the time for that. But Revelation 11 verse 15. Revelation 11 verse 15. Okay, it's projected. So if you're not there, we can just look at it and read. Can we read it together? One, two, read. This is where we are going in the map. Hallelujah. Did I destroy anything? I'm sorry. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying what? The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and as a result he shall reign forever and ever. Oh, hallelujah. This is where we are going. This is the prophetic blueprint, that a day will come where every knee must bow, no matter how stubborn they are. A day will come, the nations will bow. A day will come, the systems will bow. And on that day, Christ will be seated upon the throne of the earth, experientially as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The psalmist said it this way: the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand side until I make your enemies your footstool. And Hebrews chapter 2 tells us that although God has put all things under his feet, He said, but as it is now, we do not yet see all things. Not every nation has submitted to the authority of Jesus. Is that true? There are still people today making audacious statements that he is not Lord. So there is a strategy. And the Bible leaves us with a prophecy in the book of Revelation that the seventh angel sounded a trumpet and he said, finally, the job has been done. The nations have been brought.
Distant shores and the islands will see your light as it rises on us. Distant shores and the islands will see your light as it rises.
Oh, the one got it perfect. This is it.
As can now give the nations to you, oh Lord. That's the cry of my heart. Distant shores and the islands will see your light as it rises on us.
Hallelujah. So the journey is a journey that will lead to the experiential lordship of Christ, where in reality he will be King of Kings. He said, wherefore God has so highly exalted him. See, the Bible says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled. Where? It's not yet settled in the earth. There are contentions. But through the church, this army that I'll be sharing tonight, our job is to crown him King. That experientially he will sit upon the circles of the earth as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Are we following now? So that's about that. I won't go into that. That is the prophetic blueprints that we have. So our ultimate task and our assignment is not to build ministry. Listen, please sit down. Let me tell you something, especially if you are a pastor here, please open your eyes and your ears. Listen to me. There are many ministers in ministry today, and they do not understand that this is where we are going. You just found out, you know, that's why people make it look as if ministry is just the hub for failures in life. Those who everything refuse to work for, and you just say, Kai, God is calling me. Meaning, I've tried everything and it didn't work. Well, let's go to the vineyard. At least I know God will not reject me. If jam throws me away, if wire throws me away, at least God won't throw me away. No. And so, the mindset of many people about ministry is, I want to be a pastor. I want to be an apostle. I want to be this. What they are trying to say is, I want to earn a living. Is that true? And if there is an easy way, I'm tired of inferiority and complex. I'm tired of being looked upon as a failure. So there is a cheap route. The name is ministry. That has been the mindset of a lot of people. So you are a pastor, pastoring a congregation. And after 3 months, there is no sermon again. Because you do not even know the curriculum. So you say, what do I teach on today? Okay, let's teach on faith. And then we teach on faith. And next week, I think we should teach on Thanksgiving. After you teach on Thanksgiving, after 3 months, you have exhausted everything you know. And you now come on stage and say, I don't even know what to preach. Let's just worship God and go. You see that? No. When you understand the curriculum, you will be in a hurry. You will need extra meetings to train the people. Just like you fix extra lectures. Because you see that the rate at which you are going, the rate at which they are receiving, and as you look at the timing in the spirit, you know that there is urgency. The Bible says the king's business requires haste. Are we following now? So it's important as a pastor or a man of God, whether in pastoral ministry or any kind of ministry. So as a music minister, when you come to minister, you see that you are making your own contribution to getting this agenda come to pass. You are not just entertaining so that they can buy your cassette. and then you find something to eat. Give me bread, give me tea. We must die away from that kind of desire. The Bible says, whose God is their belly? You don't need God to get food to eat. There are people who do not love God and they are comfortable. If the entire scope of your pursuit for God is for bread and tea, you are a weak Christian. What happens when you get the bread and tea? The agenda is bigger than ministry. The agenda is bigger than wanting to be an apostle or a bishop. Oh, you didn't call me, you called me a brother instead of apostle. Do you know who I am? What? How does that affect this agenda? The urgency is too much to sit down and be wasting time discussing nonsense. That is why, listen, we talk about wealth transfer. There will not only be wealth transfer, there will be people transfer, sheep transfer, like the parable of the talents. God collected from the ones he trusted them with and refused to be serious, and he collected them and gave the ones who were making progress. Don't you think it will just be from believers, from unbelievers alone? There will be emptying of many pulpits in the days to come. Because God will say, I trusted you with a congregation of 200 people. And all you have succeeded in telling your members is how much you bought your shoe and your watch and how much you traveled and you sat inside first class. How does that make this agenda happen? There is an urgency to train an army. And in the days to come, anyone who is not serious, you will still be sitting on the throne, but Ichabod, the glory would have left like Saul. While you are sitting down, David is already being prepared. That's what is happening. See, hear me. God can take a man's assignment and add it to another man's faithful assignment. Oh, it is a possibility in the spirit. That's the reason why, for many of you, based on your original blueprint, you are doing well. But God started training you more because you are going to take up another assignment and add to your own. Hallelujah. Saul was messing up in the throne, and he thought that he would live there forever, and God was already searching for a shepherd called David. And Saul did not even know that something was happening, but Samuel was crying and said, God, pity Saul. God said, it's over. My people, I am more concerned about my people. And then the Lord began to tell the prophet, how long will you weep over Saul, seeing that I have rejected him as king? He said, but take up your horn and go to the house of Jesse. And when he went to the house of Jesse, he found Eliab and other people. I am macho like Saul. God said, I'm not looking for size again. I'm looking for sacrifice and commitment. And they checked all of them and did not find them. And they went to find a young smelly boy in the wilderness, and they anointed him as king. Praise the Lord. There are many of us here. If only God showed you the mandate that is upon your life, you will be amazed. For many of us, God did not reveal the gravity of your assignment to you so that pride will not take over your life. So he kept it secret. The mission for you is follow me. You say, Lord, where are we going? He said, just follow me. Because if God tells you, and you say, you mean I'm the one who will be great like this? You will now look at your pastor and say, how are you, sir? Say, don't play with me. One day I will feed you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. My goodness, let's get to work tonight. I don't want to stand here. If I stand here, I will still come down. But if I stand there, that's how our time will go again. The second thing we said we're going to look at is God's strategy for this global apostolic invasion. So the first thing is the prophetic blueprint. Don't worry, I'm coming down, sir. Thank you. The first thing is God's prophetic blueprint. And then the second phase is God's strategy for the global invasion. And then the third thing is the people. The people he will be using to carry out this agenda. If we're able to cover that, we have done justice tonight. I pray that the Lord will grant us grace. Hallelujah. So quickly, let's look at the strategy. Every army wins not just by power or by the size of their weapons, but the superiority of their strategy. So let's see what God's strategy is. Open us to mysteries tonight. Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4. Our teaching has begun now proper. Micah chapter 4. Mambro dusu celebaria. I can see coming in the thousands. I can see the new church rising. I can hear they're coming in the thousands. They're coming from afar. They're coming from afar. Oh, you forgot? There's no Micah. Sorry? Eh? 4, chapter 4. Just go to 4 verse 1. Everyone, let's read the strategy. Ready? 1 to read. Hold on. When? Not the beginning days, in the last days, it shall come to pass that what? The mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the... Hold on. How many of you did fine art? How many of you did fine art? How many of you can draw? If I ask you to paint this thing we just read, how are you going to paint it? That a mountain will be planted on other mountains. It didn't say it will rise up above them. The mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established where? On the top of the... So, hold on. Our teaching has begun. The Lord is talking about two mountains here. Is that true? He calls one category the mountains. And then he calls another the mountain of the Lord's house. And it shall be exalted above the hills. And all the people shall do what? Hold on. Goodness. The mountain of the Lord's house shall be established and exalted above all other mountains. And it says, if that happens, the nations will what? So our own part is not to call the nations. Our own part is to stand with the Spirit to ensure that the mountain of the Lord's house is exalted above all other mountains. Are you following me, please? And then it says all nations. How many? And people. Okay, this is KJV. Other version says all nations will flow to it. So how is God strategizing this apostolic manifestation of the Spirit? How is this world global invasion? Many of you have heard that revivals will come. Revivals will happen. Please listen to me. I want to share with you something that will change your life forever. I have a question. How will the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God? Is it through evangelism? Or what we call soul winning? Is it through welfare, building schools for children and orphanages? Are you following me now? Is it through building secondary schools, universities? Is it through healing the sick? What is the strategy? Everybody say, there is a strategy. Say it, there is a strategy. For you to understand that strategy, you must understand the instruction that God gave his disciples. He says, go ye into all the world. Hallelujah. Go ye into where? Can we have that scripture? What scripture is that? Matthew Mark 16. No. Is it 16? No, Matthew 28 verse 14 or 18. 19. Some of you are good Bible students. Some of you do not even know it's in the Bible. You are just chorus. Say it's there. I know it's somewhere. Okay, so let's look for it. Okay, beautiful. God bless you. No. Mark 16. Let's look at the version of Mark 16 from verse 15. Everyone read. And he said unto them, hold on. He never said go to the world. He said go ye into. What is Jesus saying? Go ye. He didn't say go to. Listen, I believe in soul winning, but I want to re-edit your theology tonight. If you really, really want to partner with the Holy Spirit, what we call the apostolic invasion that is coming. It says, go ye into all the world and what? Preach the gospel to every creature. Hold on. He never said preach to human beings alone. He said, make sure this gospel reaches every what? That means the gospel should affect plants. Hold on. The gospel should affect animals. Is that true? Is our gospel affecting? I'm trying to hurry up. Oh Lord, grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm just thinking of how to build. It's like we're pushing a plane to start. Praise the Lord. The word world is the Greek word cosmos, right? Cosmos. The social system, the strata. Psalm 24 verse 1 says the earth is the Lord's and its fullness thereof. Then it says the worlds, cosmos, and they that dwell in that world. The social system. Jesus is giving us the prophetic strategy. It says, go ye into this system called cosmos and take, he calls it the gospel. So cosmos is the social system. Everybody write, the social system. Another word, write, cosmos represents the mountain. The mountains. Go ye into those mountains. You see that what Jesus was saying was greater than what we have been doing. This is why our, what we call our soul winning experience has been largely poor and unproductive. Hallelujah. Go ye into how many? All the world. That means there are many. Is that true? It didn't say go ye into the world. Go ye into all. That means there is a possibility to go to some of that world and leave others. He said make sure you leave none. Go ye into all. That cosmos, the social system. And preach the gospel. Question, what is the gospel? The gospel is not good news. The gospel brings good news. What is the gospel? When Jesus said the gospel, what was in his mind? You know why? Because as at the time he was saying this, he had not died. Had he died? And resurrected. At this point, from the account of Mark, check for me. He had died and resurrected. So go ye into all cosmos and preach. That's true. Matthew says all authority in heaven. He had gotten that authority. And preach the gospel to what? I want to tell you what the gospel is. Right, let me define the gospel to you.
Many of you will hear something that will surprise you right now. Because what you have been calling gospel is not it. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. He says, for it is the power, not it has. It is the very power. You're ready? The gospel is an ideology. The gospel is not just a message. The gospel is an ideology. It's an ideology that seeks to enthrone Christ and his value system. An ideology that seeks to enthrone Christ and his value system across the hearts of men and the systems of the world.
It all belongs to you. Oh, oh, it all belongs to you. It all belongs to you.
One day we will sing this song experientially. Listen, the gospel is what? Look up. The gospel is what? Another word for ideology is a mindset. Brothers and sisters, the gospel is not just a message. The gospel is first an ideology. It's a mindset that seeks to enthrone Christ, his kingdom, his purposes, his value system in your life and across your territory. That is the gospel. It says, go ye into these seven mountains. As you go, declare. Let them know. The word preach means declare. It doesn't just mean talk. Take this ideology. Invade a system. All the systems. Please, are you following what I'm saying now? Take this ideology. Listen. Jesus sat with these people for 3.5 years. Although Jesus had not died. That was what I wanted to tell you before. But he had begun to give them the gospel. Is that true? The Bible tells us in the book of Romans that the gospel was preached to Abraham. Is it not in your Bible? The Bible tells us in the book of 1 Peter that Jesus went to Hades, the place of the dead. He had not resurrected, but he preached the gospel to the saints that were in the bosom of Abraham. Is it not? What is the gospel? Is it what happened when Jesus died and resurrected? Hold on. Goodness. Listen, if all you think the gospel is Jesus came to the world, he died, he saved your sin, give your life to him, you are not an authentic ambassador. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Just listen to me first. I know many of you are looking at me and say, are you joking? I'm rattling your entire evangelism theology. I love soul winning with my life. I have done this all my life. But I want you to be strong. This is why we have lots of churches that are full of ineffective Christians. Because the gospel has not gotten to them. The message of salvation has gotten to them. Huh? The message of salvation. Question, listen. When Jesus sent the 70, what was their evangelism? Because he had not died, but he sent the 12. Is that true? What he said, when you go, preach, and he told them what to say. Is it not in your Bible? And they returned rejoicing. They said, as we said what you told us to say, even the demons were subject to us in your name. What have you been hearing as the gospel?
You see the reason why our Christian experience is very powerless. The Bible says if you truly hear the gospel, that mindset represents the summation that carries the power of God in your life. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. The power of God unto salvation. Not just new birth. The word there is soteria. Hallelujah. The gospel is the ideology of the kingdom. The gospel is the summation of God's mindset, the value system of heaven. Jesus told them in Matthew chapter 5 and then verse 6, he said, when you pray, pray thus: our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. We reverence your name. This is our desire. Your kingdom come. How will your kingdom come? When your will is being done in the earth as it is in the heavens. His kingdom does not come just by prayer and fasting. His kingdom comes anywhere his will. What is the will of the king? His desire. And that's what he has written. A mindset. When any territory where the will of God is done, his kingdom will come. Are you getting my point? That was why when the missionaries came into Nigeria, as they began to preach the message of salvation, technological advancement came together, education came together, people started rising, and instead of using animal skin, it began to span across technology and everywhere. Because when the gospel comes, it must be preached to every creature. Hallelujah. The ideology of the kingdom. But it so happens that the entrance of the kingdom is only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So what we call the message of salvation, listen please, what we call the message of salvation is what initiates people into the life of the kingdom. But that is not all. When you get what we know to be born again, the journey has just begun. It has not ended. Are you getting my point now? But for many people, the moment you save somebody and you say, this guy is a sinner and he has been saved, and you just say, hallelujah, let's give God praise, and they leave this brother. Can I be sincere with you? Over 80% of those who answer altar call in the church, they may not go to heaven because they have gone back into their life. Is that true? Let's be sincere. We have on our records that our ministry has 10,000 salvations. And we say from the day this ministry started, we have saved 10,000 people. Whereas close to your church, the drunkard that came and cried is still there drinking. Who is deceiving who? What then is the gospel? When the gospel comes into your life, it does not just save you, it changes you. That's why this Christianity we do, where somebody is still born again and there is no difference between what you were and what the gospel had made you, is not authentic. Listen to me. Are you getting my point? If the ideology of the kingdom comes, it changes your mindset, your value system, your communication, your way of life, your interpretation of things. They saw the apostles and they said, these men. They saw Peter, that he was unlearned, but they saw that he had the mindset of Jesus. Even while they were going to crucify Jesus Christ, Peter wanted to deny that he was not part of Jesus. They said, your words, your communication betrays you. Your speech is too holy for a carnal man. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Today, right now, we have preachers on our pulpits who believe they have been born again for years, but there is no transformation. The same vulgar words. Is that true? Sleeping with church members all around, doing all kinds of things, and we convince ourselves, we are born again. Nonsense. When the gospel comes, it is the power of God to change you. We must begin to examine the things that we have held on to. And there are many people, probably some of us, who have been victims of all kinds of erroneous teachings that have convinced us. You just say, are you born again? You say yes. What the person is saying is, have you ever come to stand before an altar call? And the person say, oh, I remember now, in 2001, remember that crusade in town? Shebi, I came forward. And the person convinces himself that he's going to heaven. To the point that you will be talking to him and he will tell you, look at me. Before you came to know Jesus Christ, we have been born again since. Hear the person talking to you. Meaning, I have had the gospel. And then he says, please leave me. Let me just finish this cigarette very quickly. If it is true that you have had the gospel, has it changed you? Please hear me. If the gospel does not change you, the gospel is not a message you hear in one day. The gospel is a school, it's a curriculum you pass through. That was the baptism that happened to the nation of Israel in the Red Sea. Jesus said, except ye be born of what? Water. It comes from the word baptizo. You must be immersed through that water of the word. There is a mindset that must come into you. It's a programming. So your communication becomes filtered. Not by trying. Your mindset becomes renewed. Are we learning something today? So the strategy is what? Go ye into all the world and preach what? To every creature. Let me show you something. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. A popular scripture that Pentecostals like. We like power so much. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Let's see what the Bible has to say. Everyone read. Stop. This is about the sweetest portion of scripture for many of us. Some of us, you came for this meeting. This was the scripture you fasted with. Say, Lord, it must land on my head today. Before we talk about the landing of anything, let's consider this. It says, you shall what? Did it say you shall do witnessing? You shall what? You shall become your message. It didn't say you will say your message. The message will change you. Until it produces its character in your life. It says, you shall be witnesses. Be. Who is a witness? A witness is one who validates the claim of another in the court. If I slap this brother right now, and this little boy sees us slapping, they will take him to court and say, boy, stand here. Promise to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. Did you see Joshua Selman slapping this boy? He said, I saw it. That is a witness. Is that true? So the Bible says, my commission for you is to prove that every claim of Jesus is true. But the question is, you were not there. So the Holy Ghost who was there comes to walk with you. We are going to get to that when we talk about the army. But God's idea is not just to do witnessing, but to be the message. Hallelujah. Are you learning something? Oh, I'm happy. I even like the place like this. Some of you are very happy now. No sleeping. Praise the Lord. Are you following me now? So God's idea, brothers and sisters, is not just to do witnessing, is to become a witness. So many of us, they just gather us and say, all right, we are going for evangelism today. And please don't get me wrong, I'm not against evangelism. But you see the person who is carrying the tract and seemingly going for the evangelism. Number one, he does not even understand what he's going to go and say. And so when he stands there, he remembers what he was told. Is that true? And they say, when you stand there, tell the person he's a sinner. And you just see a gentleman peacefully sitting down with his sister or a wife. You say, my brother, I'm here to tell you you're a sinner. and that heaven is real. If you don't give your life to Jesus Christ, you are going to hellfire. Sister, the way I'm looking at you, if you don't repent, we are all sinners. God is now calling you. And then the person say, I'm sorry. Then you say, okay, come to my church. And then we say, we have won a soul. Hey. So when you come back to church, they will say, oh boy, pastor will say, where are the souls? You know, say, I tried to follow them up. They didn't come. He said, you are not a good witness. Means, go and grab the member and bring him. And you say, this is the person I want. They say, very, very good. Now you are going to go to heaven. You are doing evangelism. If we don't stop lying to ourselves. Hear me. If we don't stop lying to ourselves, evil will prevail over the territory and eat us up. While we are comfortable with religion, believing that we are advancing the kingdom, whereas we are just advancing our agenda and building all kinds of things for ourselves. Is someone hearing what I'm saying? I'm probing what we have been convincing ourselves. Many people we claim are saved are not saved. They are not saved. If the gospel is not preached to them, there are many members in our congregations on their way to hell. Believe me. They know they are not saved. There is nothing that looks like the life of God in them. But they have convinced themselves. Are you following me tonight? Be witnesses that the gospel transforms you, and then you become the message. We're talking about the strategy. Now let's go back to Micah 4, my brother. And let me tie it up there. What then are those mountains? What is God's idea of world evangelization? How is it going to happen?
You have taken all the glory. You have taken all the praise. You have taken all dominion. You have taken all the praise. You have made them yours. The highest praise to the King. You have taken all the glory. You have taken all the praise. You have taken all dominion. You have taken all the praise. You have made them yours. Highest praise to the King.
Listen. The mountain of the house of the Lord shall be exalted above every other mountain. Now listen to me. I want to list the mountains to you. God's structure. I know that I spoke a bit about this last year, but just write it. Listen. There are certain mountains. Write the subtopic mountains. I want us to talk very briefly about mountains because we must hurry up. And then wherever we stop tonight, we will pray. Write the word mountain down. It means spheres of influence. Spheres. S-P-H-E-R-E-S. Spheres of influence. There are seven spheres of influence that influence the ideology and the activity of every society. Please listen. In every society, Nigeria, Germany, in every locality, even in a place like Ita, there are seven spheres of influence that control the activities of mankind. That is what we call the mountains. That is what God calls cosmos. Number one, the first mountain is the mountain of religion. The mountain of religion. The mountain of religion. That is the platform where truth or error is taught. The mountain of religion, pulpit ministry, what we know to be ministry, is a sphere that shapes society. Please listen to me. The gospel does not just produce spiritual men who are irrelevant to society. If your gospel does not culminate to national transformation, if it does not birth advancement and change a territory, then it is not the gospel. Hallelujah. Mountain number one is what? Religion. Mountain number two, education. The sphere of influence. Almost everyone has the opportunity to go to school, whether primary school, secondary school, tertiary institution. These are mountains that mold you. You submit your mind for 10 years. You submit your mind for 20 years to go through a curriculum you do not understand, and you do not argue with whatever you are taught. Is that true? So a boy comes from a Christian background and goes to study sociology and goes through a mountain, and at the end of 20 years he does not believe in Jesus Christ again, because he passed through a mountain that he allowed to shape his mindset. Are you following me now? I will explain all of them. Number three, the third sphere of influence that shapes culture and affects and influences society is the media. Everybody say the media. In 5 minutes, you can receive a wrong information from the media that will take 3 years to leave your mind. Is that true? I think I was sharing in a meeting somewhere, and I gave an instance. You know the reason why many people are so sick and many sicknesses and infirmities destroy us? Because of the information we have received from the media. Is that true? Our grandparents and some of our parents never knew that certain food that we eat today destroy, and they ate it lavishly, and it never destroyed them, because there was no media to tell them it destroys. Is that true? But right now, you were watching a nice program on TV, and a doctor told you if you eat cabbage, it will reduce your lifespan by 20 years. The information you have received from the media, any day you see anybody with cabbage, you say, back to... Because the media has influenced your mind. Are you following me now? So you are a lady who is taught that you should be a virtuous woman. Then you watch a Nigerian film. And when you watch the Nigerian film, you see the man running after the woman, and you see the lady cheating on her husband. And the Nigerian film presents her as a sharp girl. And you receive an information. If I want to be a sharp girl, behave like madam. Mind control systems. Are you ready for the fourth mountain? The fourth mountain is politics and governance. Jezebel understood this, and she made sure she married Ahab. Yesterday we began to share about how that the spirit of the Antichrist. Governance is important because it legislates on behalf of a territory. So right now, do you know, look up please, that in certain nations of the world, gay marriage has been passed into law. And it is not only passed into law, they can choose any church to join them. Yes. So a husband and a husband, or a lady and a fish, can decide to say, I'm coming to this assembly. Pastor, we are coming to your church. We are not members, but we have been authorized by constitution. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And if you refuse to join them, they will withdraw your license as a minister of the gospel. Are you getting what I'm saying? And while we are there trying to do what we know as evangelism, there are people who are legislating in the Senate. I thank God for Nigerian government, when they brought the issue of gay marriage, they played it out like a football out of Nigeria. Hallelujah. There are many nations today that are in debt forever because the government adopted a credit system where people eat their future now. You were not there, but somebody made the decision on your behalf. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That means there must be envoys who will go to that place of governance. Otherwise, one day you will be sitting down and they will come and close your church and say somebody passed it on your behalf. Let's hurry up. That's mountain number four, is governance, politics and governance. Number five, arts and entertainment. While we were coming on the way from Zaria, I was asking my people, I said, who is this small boy they call Wizkid? I don't know him. And then they were talking to me and they said, well, he's a secular musician, and they said the guy is smart, very gifted, very talented, but then he just does his thing, the secular music. Did you know, brothers and sisters, that the arts and entertainment has affected our outlook about ourselves? There are many ladies who were not concerned about their looks until you saw a particular music artist behave in a certain way. And you said, if this is what makes them to celebrate them, I must change myself from what I am to what I need to be. Is that true? To an extent that arts and entertainment has made men to do what we call what do they do? A man changing to a woman, right? And a woman changing to a man. Praise the Lord. So if a popular musician starts putting watch, war clock on his head, what happens? That becomes the trend. So if I want to be a hard guy, what do? You tie war clock on your head. Because a system has shaped you. Right now, because of Facebook and Twitter and all of this social media, many students are failing WAEC because of the influence of art and entertainment on their life. The average secondary school student cannot write a formal letter. He thinks he's sending a text message. So when he's supposed to write you as Y-O-U, he just writes you, because that's what you were able to do on WhatsApp. Mind control systems. You now see that the arts and entertainment right now in America, people don't go to school again to study engineering and medicine and all of these courses that affect society. They go to study music, right? Because they found out that is the sharpest way to make it. Or they go to study, I'm not saying anything is wrong with music, but I'm saying there are many people, they throw most of these courses right now is Africans that are studying abroad. A young man who used to greet his mother, "Daddy, good morning, sir. Mommy, good morning." Right now, we have lost values in the home. You know why? Because of arts and entertainment. So you watch an artist come, pastor come. You watch an artist come and he greets his pastor and say, "How are you?" And he just hits him. And then you see it. And in your room, when you are alone and there's nobody there, you close the door. And then you bounce. And then you do it. And one day you see your mom and say, "Mommy, mom, see how you did now." And then your mother looks at you and says, "Come." Thank God for our mothers. The mother says, "I will cane this nonsense out of you. I don't know where you got it from, but it did not come from me." May God bless all our mothers that will refuse to let... Listen, if you are a parent in this place, when your child is stubborn, whip that devil out of him. The Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. He said the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Oh yes, I said it. Arts and entertainment. Right now, listen, abroad, a child has a right, even when he's not 18 years, to tell his parents, like the prodigal son, "I think I'm man enough. Give me my share of the inheritance." Are you hearing what I'm saying? A child has a right to decide that my parents are going to church, but I, as an individual, I refuse. I'm not going to church. I want to watch a film. And if they force him, the court is going to go and jail the parents because they saw an artist. That leads me to the sixth mountain, family. Family. Every armed robber came from a house, true or false. Every tout that threatened society had a family. The family is the first institution that molds and trains people. Praise the Lord. Family values have been lost right now. When I was growing up, you dare not start eating, thank you, without praying. How many of you were taught that way? No matter how mad you are, no matter how in a hurry, whatever is chasing you, you must stop. Then in primary school, we used to sing a song. Some have food. Hold on. Many of these very young ones don't even know it again. Plus Jesus minus Satan. Amen. See that? Family. Listen. This is very important. So many children start becoming corrupt from the home. So they see a nanny that they brought. And while parents are away, hallelujah, she's watching pornography. Is that true? Or watching something destructive on the internet. Or the young man is browsing naked ladies on the phone. And the baby is watching. Although naive, she's opening up herself already for spirits to enter. Are you getting me? When we were growing up, the first words that people learned were things like, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. Now tell a small boy, what should I buy for you? What will he say? Buy a gun. He won't say lollipop or bobo. He will say gun. Who taught a small boy that what are you supposed to be doing with a gun? It was car. When we went to Father Christmas those days, the gift, the present that they gave you either pencil, go and read your book, cleaner, biro. But now, Father Christmas will give a child toy gun and he will shoot it. And come and stand near his father and shoot. And then the father does like he's dying. And the boy begins to rejoice over bloodshed. Don't laugh. It's a very serious issue. Hallelujah. And then one day, the elder brother will be sitting down. And then the boy will just run and come and slap him. And when he cries, he will recite something that was said in a film somewhere. And then to him, he's already learning that for you to be a hard man, you must be a capon. Right? Then he goes to, what's the name of your polytechnic? FBI. FBI. Then he goes to FBI and carries his house with him. And he thinks every lecturer is his younger sister. And he looks at a woman and says, see, don't open eye for me. And they will give him letter. They will say, change environment. We are not ready for touts like you. And the journey begins. Because family. Family. Right now, there are many parents that are afraid. Do you know? I want to say a few things here. Most children learn about things like sex. And learn about all of these things from aunties and uncles and disco halls. Many parents cannot sit with their children to say, look, holiness is the way of God, because they feel no problem. Say their pastor should talk to them. And the first man that talks to that lady about those kinds of things wants to sleep with them, because the father never told his daughter, I love you. One boy comes with his baggy jeans and baggy life and everything, and now he comes and looks at the lady and says, sweetheart, I love you. Hey! She's hearing it for the first time. When you see ladies becoming bad, don't just insult them. The devil is doing what their parents did not do. The first day the lady wanted to talk to the father, she came close to the father and said, Daddy, I just want to sit close to you. And the father said, are you stupid? In fact, where is that masset I bought for you? It has spoiled, right? And the lady will never go back to the father. But loneliness is killing her because family is not playing its role. So the lady will refuse to go to church. And the father thinks she's stubborn. She's communicating loneliness. And then the day she goes out, Bobo, lover boy, blocks her somewhere and says, my dear, do you know how beautiful? When I saw you, I was on my way going. I didn't see any road again except the one to you. Because he was well taught by the devil. Hold on. That may be the lyrics of a Nigerian film he watched. And it will work on the lady. The lady will say, don't talk to me, I'm a child of God. But when she goes back home, she will not sleep. She will be thinking about Oga. And then the next day, she won't have anything to buy, but she will come out intentionally. Because she had something she wants to hear again. God bless you. Are you seeing how society is being corrupted? Hold on. Yet, we claim we are preaching the gospel. So I'm asking you, what gospel have we been preaching? The last mountain that must be conquered is the mountain of commerce, business, finance. That is the mountain that funds every other mountain. The only gospel a hungry man wants to hear is food to eat first, before Jesus died for him. Everyone says seven mountains. Listen, can you display all of this mountain so we can have it? Look up, please, everyone. Micah began to prophesy the strategy for this world invasion. And he says, it will no longer just be crusades alone, like the days of Kenneth Hagin. It will no longer be just preaching and healing conventions again. This time around, it is going to be strategic. So an apostle will not just be one who holds the mic alone. There will now be family apostles. There will now be media apostles. There will now be business apostles, financial multi-billionaire apostles. Listen, are you hearing what I'm saying? So then, come. Let me have seven people. Seven people. Let's hurry up. Goodness, our time is gone. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Watch this. Everybody says seven mountains. God takes this brother and says, look at you. You are going to become the governor of Kogi State. And no devil will stop you. Hold on. Are you getting me now? And then this guy is a born again, tongue-talking person. And the day he enters that government house, the first thing is Le Koko Parakata Balike Deposita Mantaka Prosko Parikata. As a governor. And while he's speaking, because the spirit of prophecy is on him, he will say, come and dig this place. Remove the devil that has been planted there. And people come and say, Oga governor, there's a way we do it. He said, I bring a new law. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And he goes to the government house. He says, let me see the place that was built for God here. He says, hey, it's one little place. He said, destroy it. Like Nehemiah, let there be the rebuilding of something authentic. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The prophets of Baal suffered because those in the government house of that day, they were the representatives of Baal. And so God sends him. You see God training him, and you would think God is training him like Smith Wigglesworth, yet he's sending him to the government house. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Many of you think you are going to be holding the mic doing pulpit ministry. No. But the same unction during the executive meeting, somebody is eating money and is lying. All of a sudden, your prophetic gift starts working. And you say, Mister, we made you a commissioner. You are eating money. You will step down right now. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, you begin to restore the order of king, priest, and prophet. And you start attacking the altars in the state. because the altars will start reacting. No food for us. Who came into this government house? And you will answer them by saying, Leko parakata, zekete pariadaba, mantekete lekata. That's right. That's right. Hallelujah. And once in a while, you and your commissioners will come and they will say that there is the jam and the waek of students are not being nice. And as the commissioner of education, you go and after your wife gives you food, you lock the door and say, in the name of Jesus, I remove my governmental robe and I put on my priestly robe. Reketa kalabata. The power that stops people from passing jam and wayek, we curse you, and you come out and wear your suit. All of a sudden, they say, we don't know what is happening to our schools. Our students have started passing wayek. Oh, it will happen. Yes, this is God's strategy for kingdom invasion. And the moment you do that, you begin to talk to the people in your ministry and say, brothers and sisters, we must live with posterity at heart. When we are eating the school fees that is due children, when we are looting the money that should equip their labs, God is unhappy. And all of a sudden, like Nicodemus, someone will come and meet you as the commissioner in the night and say, I want to give my life to Christ. As a commissioner, you brought me to the Lord Jesus Christ. There are certain people preachers will never have access to. It is politicians that will have access to them. So these are the ones that are mandated with the anointing to win them to Christ. That's what we call apostolic invasion. Are you getting my point? Next mountain, education. This brother is just sitting down and a passion for education lands on his head and he cannot explain it. And you get to school. See, gone are the days when the first class students are unbelievers. The days are coming, man de kalabata, where the best of the best of the best of the best. And I prophesy to someone there, man de kabreketa baladaba, that the times have come where the finest, the best of the best of the best gurus, five pointers, first class students, those who will get the scholarship will be tongue talking, anointed, Holy Ghost filled, vibrant kingdom people. Hallelujah. And so this brother, listen, he gets up and gets his first degree and knows that God is calling him to be an educational apostle. And this guy goes to Harvard, sets a world record, becomes a professor, and he begins to strike some chords in the educational sector. And when certain people are discussing for malpractice, the Lord reveals to him and he says, you and you have a nice day. And re-engineers the educational sector. And then he begins to say, we are going to introduce new curriculum. We are changing CRS now. It will now be called spiritual growth. Not just Christian religious studies. Spiritual growth. And we insist that the condition for the teacher is that he must become an active member of a church with recommendation from his pastor. Not just any copper or anybody around who just comes. He finishes drinking beer in the morning and comes to say, Jesus walked on water. That if you are allowed to teach that course, you must have a recommendation from your pastor who validates that you are a functional member in church. And then you begin to teach the students. And while you are teaching the students, all of a sudden, a student that was SS, you have brought the anointing of the Holy Ghost to the classroom. It looks like you are teaching, but as the student is teaching, suddenly he starts shaking. He doesn't know what is happening to him. And he's saying, Uncle, I don't know what is happening. You say it's called the anointing of the Holy Ghost. It's no longer CRS. It's called spiritual growth. Hallelujah. And as the minister of education, you now say it is compulsory for the second stanza of the national anthem to be sung in every school. Oh God of creation, direct our noble cause, guide our leaders right, and help our youth the truth to know, in love and honesty to grow, and living just and true, great lofty heights attend, to build a nation where peace and justice shall reign. How did the devil bring that thing out of schools? Mountain number two. Number three, the media. If they refuse, and right now in many media programs, you cannot call the name of Jesus. I hope you know. When you call the name of Jesus, they shut down and they take you aside and say, Mr. Man, the day you mention Jesus again, you are out. And so you say things like divine. When you have a nice song and you just sing a song, Jesus, 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 what a wonder you are. They'll say, hold on, you know, because Glow won't sponsor you, so you should pin it down. You can say something else. But God will anoint you, and the man will say, I'm having my own television station, and you pay for it for 10 years and say everything that is of God should be played in this television. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Media. Next is what? Politics and governance. And this guy becomes a great man who legislates on behalf of the kingdom. And then arts and entertainment. This handsome guy now wins one award. And when all the youths in Nigeria are watching him, they say, young man, what is responsible for your talent and everything? You are so gifted and skilled. And on national TV, he's going to say, grace, your grace. I'm nothing without you. And everyone is watching. It's your grace, your grace shines on me. And they say, yes, we know you are a religious person, but right now, what do you have to tell the younger generation? Because they are going to put your picture on Glow and everything. And the only thing you tell them is, I am an ambassador. I represent a kingdom. I am proud of my government, and I will live for my kingdom. Thank you very much. They can't deny you because you are a celebrity. All of a sudden, the millions of people who watch you will start talking like you. A small boy will come to daddy and say, daddy, I am an ambassador. I am representing the kingdom. And the father will say, where did you learn that? He will say, my idol, my celebrity. Imagine if Michael Jackson mentioned the name Jesus once, even if it was by mistake. There will be more salvations than many crusades have had. Number six, family. And God provides a disciplined father who canes out evil out of his son. And when the son is sleeping, the father is walking around the house. And he walks room to room. My son is blessed. I prophesy to you, you will be a great son. And when he comes with a result, 35 out of 50 people, he will say, don't be discouraged, my son. I stand in my fatherly office and I speak to you. I don't discourage you. You are not a failure. I speak, and he says, mommy, come, let's speak to our child. Where's mommy? Wife, come and hold my hands. And they come and they say, in the name of Jesus, we stand as father and mother, as the priest in this family, and we declare the devil will not take anything from your life. We break yokes, we break spells. Hallelujah. And the father teaches the boy how to tithe from a small age. He says, son, every time you receive money, there is something called 10%. It belongs to God. Here is 1,000. What is the tithe? And the little boy says, Daddy, 100 naira. He says, now watch Daddy do it. And he puts it in an envelope. Hallelujah. A family revolution. And one day the father is sleeping and he discerns that the territory over Ida is roaming around his house because he's a priest. All of a sudden he will wake up and say, who roams around my territory? And then the spirit wants to come and spoil the daughter, and the daughter starts misbehaving, starts liking men, and he comes, he says, my dear, I may not be a man of God in church, but in the name of the Lord Jesus, I confront that spirit of prostitution. And all of a sudden, the deliverance is conducted right there at home. A man comes to come and put charm in the house. And from the gate, he says, I don't want to enter again. I don't know what is driving me. Because a priest has built an altar in the family. And the final mountain. Are you ready for this? The days will come when begging by believers will end and die a permanent death. Hallelujah. Where the church will stop queuing in government houses, waiting for relief materials, waiting for all of this. I look forward to times when the church will have the equivalent of the budget of nations. Hallelujah. The mountains of the Lord, the mountain of the Lord's house will superimpose upon every one of these mountains. Look at me. Every one of you tonight under the sound of my voice has been anointed to, hear me, to function in one of these mountains. Listen, there are many of you, every time you sleep, like Joseph, you see the sun, the moon, and 11 stars bowing. The day you told people, I saw myself as governor, they laughed at you. They said, if you don't know what to do with your life, go and see that. Every time you see politicians, something cries in you. Hallelujah. And they think it's carnality. It's a mantle. It's a mantle. Religion. There are many Catherine Kuhlmans that are in this place. You look ordinary, but you know that there is an anointing upon your life. You can't explain it, but every time you dream, you see these ancient people in the dream, and they come to you, the cloud of witnesses. Hallelujah. I want you to look at these things carefully, because what you see on the board is a definition of your prophetic destiny. If the kingdoms of this world must become the kingdoms of our God, then we must carry the value system of the kingdom to every single one of these mountains. Religion, education, media, politics and governance, art and entertainment, family, commerce, or the business world. Look at me. Imagine that all of these guys are champions in their different spheres, right? And then in the future, when you are doing Destiny Summit version 21, all these champions come together. Watch this. This guy just flew from Brazil, Germany, London, Asia. And it's a summit. Hear me. And they come from different places. And they say, shall we lift up our voice and pray? And a governor is praying like a prayer band leader. And you will say, I remember. Remember those days. What's the name of this church? Remember when we were praying in this church. And he says, God has been faithful. And this multi-millionaire comes. And he says, how much does it take to buy all the buses for evangelism? And he says, please, let's not start disturbing heaven with a lot. There are souls. We must pray for souls. Did you say 15 million or 50 million? Take 30 million first. When I travel back, the other one, all this prayer point of jacking, oh Lord, let heavens open. It will end by one ambassador who is functioning properly. And then at that point, Listen to me. Christ himself. That is when you will see principalities dumbfounded. They will not understand the excellency of God's wisdom. Because, see, what the devil has taught the church is that the only mountain is religion. And we have built a lot of churches, but the government houses are empty. God is not represented there. Our schools are empty. But there's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up to break every chain. Break every chain. To break every chain. Break every chain. Hold on. Let me tie this thing up. When it was time to apportion lands, hear me. Joshua and Caleb were the only ones who were remaining of that generation. And Caleb said, give me this mountain. Caleb said, there is a mountain, this one. I've been anointed. Although there are anarchies in the mountain, I would take them down. So in the educational sector, there are spirits. In religion, there are spirits. In media, these spirits are standing. They are the gates and the doors. And any man that must have access to that mountain must bow to them. Yet there is an army that is rising up. And they are saying, we will not bow. Yet we will force those gates to be open. Let me round up. Obadiah 21. Man de kalabakurata de bakataya. Ayayayaya.
Break every chain. Break every chain.
Please project Obadiah 21.
To break every chain.
Everyone, let's read. One, two, read.
And saviors.
Hold on. And who?
Saviors.
What did he call them?
Saviors.
What did he call them?
Saviors.
I like you to change that word saviors to ambassadors. Are you ready? One, two, read.
And ambassadors.
Shall do what?
Shall come up.
On what?
On Mount Zion.
And they will judge what?
The mountain.
What will be the result? And the kingdom shall be the Lord.
Yes.
Listen. It says, and saviors, when God is done from them. Because that mountain that will be exalted above every other mountain, the name is Mount Zion. And the Bible says in Hebrews that ye are come unto that mountain. That is the place where you are trained. That is the place where you are equipped. Mount Zion, the very city of the God, of the great King. Mount Zion, in the side of the north, the city of the great King. It says, saviors shall arise out of that mountain and will what? Judge. You know who Esau was? Esau was the elder brother. Is that true? And out of carelessness and being lackadaisical, he lost his birthright. And he said, there is a mount called the Mount of Esau. And they will judge that mountain. They will judge that spirit that makes people to lose their birthright and lose their place in destiny. So you are not in the educational sector just to be a professor. You are there to break chains. You are there as an advocate, because the kingdom shall be the Lord's. The educational system shall be the Lord's. The media shall be the Lord's. Arts and entertainment shall be the Lord's. Business and finance shall be the Lord's. Our families shall be the Lord's. And saviors, this is the army now. Saviors, you are the saviors. They shall come out of where? Mount Zion. And this is the preparation that is happening. Now listen to me. In the 70s, The prophetic mandate of God was upon the continent of Europe. They represented the emphasis of the agenda of God for the nations. And then from Europe, or down 60s, and then around the 70s, it moved to America, and then to Asia, and the mantle has come to land in Africa. Hear me. Have a few minutes, and then we'll pray. Africa is the last continent that will fulfill this mandate before the Christ comes. Hold on. By divination and sorcery, hear me please. The whole world has seen that the mantle of the Spirit for the nations is upon the continent of Africa. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And in Africa, there are three nations that will be featured in this apostolic revival. The first nation is Nigeria. The second nation is South Africa. The third nation is Ghana. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because the apostolic order of God's governing system is king, priest, and prophet. And Nigeria received the priest, the prophetic, the apostolic anointing. And Ghana had the prophetic anointing. And South Africa had the... If you look at the map of Nigeria, or you look at the map of Africa, Nigeria is at a point. The map of Africa is like a gun, and Nigeria is like the trigger. Look at it. Hold on. I want to explain to you certain things. So Isaiah 18, we're not turning there for time's sake, begins to speak about Nigeria, a people who are great and terrible from their beginning. Isaiah 18 begins to give us the prophecy about the nation of Nigeria. Listen to me. When the prophetic mantle of God went to Ghana, they started using tradition to corrupt it, and the mantle left. And South Africa started getting into secularism just like the American church. And as I speak to you right now, both the king, priest, and prophet anointing is in this country. But the problem is, nobody knows those who are carrying it now. God sealed it for the appointed time. Listen. I want to explain something very prophetic to you, and then we'll pray. Nigeria has become God's firstborn in Africa. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And as the firstborn of God across the territory, we represent the pivot of what God is doing across the nation. We are not just giant of Africa for nothing. It's a spiritual position. It's not just an economic position. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, when God wanted to begin to train this great army, hear me please. God met one big challenge in Nigeria, and that challenge was religion and denominationalism. Are you getting me? Because we could not allow the Holy Ghost find expression because of our doctrines. Are you getting me? Which is not necessarily a demonic thing. It's just that he could not permit the Holy Ghost to do the things that he wanted to do. Then God now had a strategy. Let me tell you what God is doing now in Nigeria. If you don't know this as a pastor, I don't know what you are telling your congregation. Listen. God decided to start creating non-denominational platforms. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And he divided Nigeria into two. Nigeria is divided into two prophetically. The first aspect is called mission fields, where souls are saved. And the second is called training camps, like a terrorist camp, where this army is being trained. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And these training camps are the university campuses, polytechnic campuses, non-denominational women fellowships, ministries like Destiny Ministry, like Destiny Makers International. Because they do not have a denominational platform. There are some of you, you know that your jam was not enough to give you admission, and you still got it, because the mandate is bigger than admission. It's a prophetic disguise so that you will get to that training camp. There are some of you, if you were in your homes, you will never be allowed to come for this meeting. So you went to school.
so that you can make it. And the recruit is on. Hear me. The Bible says, blow the trumpet inside. So some of you started sleeping in the night and you started seeing visions of revival. And you just woke up and you said, my sister, this is what I saw. And they said, me too. I have been seeing these things. Something in your spirit tells you that you are like a pregnant woman. Every time you watch Catherine Kuhlman on TV, you start crying. You don't even know why you are crying. Deep is calling unto deep. Those cloud of witnesses are waiting in heaven and they are seeing the structure of God's army beginning to take shape. Hear me. The moment the devil saw that the mountain of the Lord's house started being exalted, Satan started preparing terrorist groups to arise in Africa. Are you seeing why terrorist groups are rising? It's not just political, it's beyond politics. Because every time the mountain of the Lord's house arises, the Mount of Esau will arise too. And do you now see why the terrorist groups camped in the north? Because Mount Zion is the side of the north, the city of the great king. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But there is a prophecy about Nigeria. Listen, the map of Nigeria has the letter Y on it. Is that true? I shared it the last time I came here. That it is Y. It spells the name Yahweh. It's God's signature upon the nation of Nigeria as the firstborn. Listen, it's not River Niger and Benue. Open your eyes. God is not a fool. Why was it water that wrote it? Why was it not mountain that wrote the why? It is a witness of the spirit. Those who are running out of Nigeria, keep going. When God is done with us, they will come back. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So these kinds of meetings are deeply prophetic meetings that communicate to you the present truth. He said, I will not be negligent to put you in remembrance of these things, although ye know them and are established in the present truth, not the former truth, the present truth. Brothers and sisters, right now as I speak to you, if you are hearing the sound of my voice, it is because this mantle is over your life. There is no way you would have come here. Hear me. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. For some of you, you were just strolling and someone forced you. You thought it's a force, but there were angels on assignment. And the Lord says, although he does not know, bring him to the meeting. And right here, you are face to face with destiny. And God is letting you see that there was a reason why they wanted to kill you before you were born. It's not just witchcraft. It's because something is upon your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so the emergence of this glorious army will be an emergence of a people who have been committed to knowing the mysteries of the kingdom. Number one, the mysteries of the operations of heaven. There will be a people who understand the strategy for God's apostolic invasion. You must understand the strategy, just like I've taught you. So you know that it's not just about one-to-one track evangelism alone, although that is important, but that beyond just doing witnesses, you become a witness. Hallelujah. So every time you see that a sister is not getting married, you know that this is beyond just having children. It is the devil trying to stop this mandate. And then you can pray for 3 days and 3 nights, fasting for somebody you have no business for, because you realize that you are an ambassador and you understand that there is a mandate that is greater than your own personal desire. Hear me, brothers and sisters. This army will be a people who are fearsome, a people who are disciplined, a people who are focused. Hallelujah. Like I began to share yesterday, men and women who will know the mysteries of the kingdom. Number two, there will be men of superior intelligence in this earth realm. Not just spiritual intelligence alone. Men whose mindsets and capacities have been developed to be relevant in society. Men who through the means of excellence and mastery have gained a level of influence. Gone are the days where you feel that your intellectual development is not important. It is important for kingdom advancement. And then number three, and that is what will lead us into our prayer. There will be men full of the Holy Ghost and power. Zechariah chapter 4. Rise up on your feet, everybody. Something will happen in this place right now. Verse 6, Zechariah 4. Everyone read. Where the word Zerubbabel is, put your name. Ready? One to read. The apostolic invasion will not just be by power. Beyond our intellect, there will be an ability of the Spirit. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Everyone read. Stop there. What will you receive? What will you receive? What will you receive? The word there is dunamis. But you will receive an ability that is greater than the power of witchcraft. You will receive an anointing. Isaiah 61. We'll just run through a few scriptures and begin to pray. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because He has what? Again? Because He has what? Because He has what? When the anointing comes upon you, you will preach good tidings to the meek. You will bind up the brokenhearted. You will proclaim liberty to the captives. You will open prison to them that are bound. Verse 2. It's a bit slow, right? So before we get there, you now press. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. With that anointing, you will comfort those who mourn. And you will appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. With that anointing, you will give them beauty for ashes, and oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. With that anointing, they will be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, and you will be glorified. With that anointing, when it comes upon you. Acts chapter 10 from verse 38. Please, let's rush as fast as you can. Oh, it's not by power. It's not just by zeal. If the empowerment is not there, it's not there. But when it comes, let's read it. Hold on. How God discussed with Jesus, negotiated with Jesus. How God, with what, and with, as a result, Hold on. You never do good until you are anointed. He said he went about doing good, opening prison doors. There are many of you that what will come upon you tonight will change you. All of a sudden, when you see people cry, you will no longer say sorry. You will say, I have something, such as I have. Such as I have. Some of you will receive this and go back home and tell the principalities and powers, an ambassador has arrived. There's an army. There's an army. If you do not want to be an ambassador, you do not need the anointing. There is no reason why you should have the anointing. But brothers and sisters, I know that there are certain people who came to this meeting with a hunger, and they are saying, Lord, if you can find me. As the Spirit of God moves from continent to continent, as it comes to Africa, locate me. I may not come from a wealthy family, but Lord, as that mantle comes across Nigeria, as it has come to Ida, find an apostle in me. Find a prophet in me. Find a principality in me. Listen to me. Listen. There are healing ministries that this city has not yet seen that are locked up within people here. There are governmental apostolic authorities that has not been seen. There are levels of influence that this city has not seen. Hear me. Kogi as a state has been plagued with a lot of witchcraft, and it is because of the prophetic mandate of the state. And if you follow the happenings in your state, you know that the altars in your state have started feeling the heat of a strange army they cannot explain. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because the spirits that rule over this territory are strong demonic spirits. And hitherto, people have come with zeal, but they did not have the mysteries, and some of them died with casualties. But the foundations of this city have started hearing a sound that they have not heard before. They are hearing the sound of a people. They thought you were dead, but suddenly, like Moses, you are returning to Egypt. And you are saying, I'm not going out of the state. I only left to be prepared. Now I'm coming back like Moses. And you are about to tell altars, let God's people You have tied this destiny through the blood of virgins. You have tied this city. You have matired chains. But I come with a mandate that is only of heaven. Hear me. In this city, kingdoms will rise against kingdoms. Altars will rise against altars. Rods, there will be a clash of rods and mantles. There will not be too much talking, but there will be clashes in the spirit. And there are many of you, one day you will be praying in your room and suddenly you will see beings will appear to you and say, I'm the spirit over this city. What are you saying? And you say, I have longed to see you. I have come to announce to you that the king has come. Oh yes, it will happen. A day will come, the proverb that has been used over Kogi State will no longer be used again. Because an army is rising. And some of you will say, but I'm not from this state. Oh, I do not plan to be here. There is a territory that is waiting for your anointing. And we are going to pray. Listen, in the next 5 minutes, I want you to cry. It's a cry of desperation from the throne. And say, Lord, I was born for such a time as this. It is for such a time as this I did not die. The sickness was almost killing me, but God raised an intercessor to pray for me so that I will not die. But now that I have heard your word, I am ready to position myself. Lift your voice and begin to pray. Oh, there is the imagery of a glorious army. We are part of it. This summit is a clarion call. This summit is a clarion call. Something will be activated in your spirit tonight. Go ahead and pray. Lord, I answer the call tonight. I answer the call of destiny. The reason for which I was born. I answer the call. I answer the call of destiny. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 1 from verse 8.
Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven.
Hallelujah. I'm about to minister to us now. It will be very fast because our time is gone. But I'd like you to listen. My goodness. There will be such a baptism of fire in this place. Just follow me. He said, be not afraid of their faces. They will look intimidating, but something will come upon you that will kill fear. It says, for I am with thee to deliver thee. Hallelujah. Go to verse 7. Or verse 6. Let's start from verse 6. Let me show you something there. Verse 6. Jeremiah 1, verse 6. Verse 6, same chapter. It says, then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. Why? For I am a child. Next verse, please. Shilaka prande gebere de devos. Everyone read. Want to read? Whatsoever I command you, you will speak. Brothers and sisters, the anointing of the Spirit will come upon your life. And certain things will be activated. There are many of us, that which has been locked up from within you. In 1 minute, I'd like you to pray and say, Lord, I will not let you go. Like Jacob, I hold on to you. Something must land upon my destiny. Pray. Hallelujah. I'm seeing an old box in the spirit, and this represents spiritual dimensions that many of us would have entered into by now, but something has been blocking it. Right now, in the name of Jesus, listen, as I begin to speak, prophetic fountains will burst open in many people, and you will begin to prophesy immediately. Are you ready now? Hallelujah. Father, I see at least 5 people in this situation. At least 5 people. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I command the prophetic, those prophetic fountains from the congregation and everywhere. Whoever is supposed to walk in this dimension, right now, in the name of Jesus, let those fountains be open. Be open. Give her the mic. What's wrong with your mother? Leave them. Just allow them to lie there. Don't take them away. There is a reason why I asked you to bring them out. Eh? Stroke. No, this is a blood condition. I'll pray. Don't worry, I'll pray for you. My sister, just hold on. I'll pray for you. But this is a blood condition. This is something that has to do with the blood, because I'm seeing her. It's not a, I don't know if it's, is it HIV? If it's not HIV, then it's some, I know it's a blood condition that has eaten her body very seriously. This is what I see in the spirit. Hallelujah. If you belong to that, if it's your situation, please, you can come and stand here. What is wrong with your mother? Stroke. For how long? It's getting to a year. Where is she? That's another local government. We are going to pray for her. You believe Jesus can touch her?
Yes.
Because you think it's stroke. But what I'm seeing is not stroke. Huh? What I'm seeing, because I'm seeing a woman's leg and I'm seeing stains of blood on it. This is witchcraft. It's not stroke. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask you to step in and let there be miracles. Hold on, hold on. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for you, I'm seeing you in the spirit, but you are very, 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 very old. Very, very, very old in the spirit. And it's not supposed to be like that. You see that? So I need to pray for you. Can you help us? If it's not working, can we have another one? Thank you, so that we save time. What's this for?
This is getting a year now, that my husband has left me from home and she's in children.
Okay, she's not with her husband again. Because I'm seeing an old woman, very, very, very old. Very old, like times 5 or 6 of what you are looking now. But we are going to change it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I lay my hands upon Madame. I command supernatural restoration for her marriage. I change this thing that I see in the spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come, my dear. There is pain aside from what you feel here. There is serious pain that you feel here. Huh?
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes.
Especially when it's... when. Anyway, I'm going to pray for you now. Lay your hands there. What's wrong with your leg?
They gave me injection when I was 2 years old.
Look at me. Look at me. In the name of Jesus, I command this leg to grow back and become equal. Right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let life come to this leg right now. Now, that demon, out of her. Now, look at the spirit responsible. She's saying it's injection, whereas there is a spirit. This has nothing to do. It's not the mistake of a doctor. I'm seeing a snake. This is what I'm seeing. I'm not seeing a human being now again. In the name of Jesus, you must release her right now. Go. Let her go by the fire of the Holy Ghost. There is no peace for the wicked. I'm seeing a snake in the spirit. Right now the Lord judges you. Out! 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 This is a snake I see in the spirit. Mambra kata lokoto pasitai. Together with every pain that has plagued her, you must go. Remove this that I see. I'm seeing a rope on her stomach. I'm seeing a rope on her stomach. This is what I see in the spirit. There is a rope on her stomach. I command it to be removed now. Look at what is happening to her. Out! 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 Lift your hands, all of you. She's not alone. The devil is under fire right now. Hold on. Listen. Lift your hands. Everyone here. There are people here who are under yokes, under spells. There are spirits, curses upon people. We are going to shout that name, Jesus. When we shout it, except God is not in this place, there's no devil hiding anywhere in your life that will survive. Are you ready now? I want you to shout that name, Jesus, at the count of 3, at the top of your voice. Lord, I pray that as they shout that name, every spirit responsible for the backwardness of your people, my God, they must let them go now. Are you ready now? In the name of Jesus, 1, 2, 3, I command Satan out, 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 out. I command witchcraft, spells, yokes, bring them out, bring them out. I curse those spirits, I curse those spirits, those powers. The fire of God is bringing them out of your
there is a lady in this congregation.
Hold on. I'm seeing a crown. And this is a demonic thing in the spirit. Please, all of you, lift your hands. The Lord must identify that person. Hallelujah. Lift your hands. Father, wherever that lady is, one of you will just be standing and all you will see is fire come on you, because there is a demonic agenda over your life and your family. Lord, I'm asking, wherever that person is right now, in the name that is above all names, I command that spirit, you are exposed right now, right now, right now, right now. You are exposed now. There is greatness upon them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, you must go by the power of the Holy Ghost. There is no hiding. We come with the rod of a higher priesthood. Shift. Where are the ushers? Anybody? Come, lay your hands on her. Right now, you must let her go. I curse that spirit. Out! There is no hiding. I see you in the spirit. Out! 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 Brothers and sisters, hear me. These are the powers that have sat on many of our destinies. When it's time for exams, some of you find out that you just blank out till you fail. Come, because bring this gentleman, come. You are not dull. There is a power that is affecting you. I don't know you, but you are not dull. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Out! Out of him! Out! This is a demon that has been troubling this boy. Out! Right now, I curse you by the rod of a higher priesthood. You must let him go. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
In this power, in the name,
I curse you by the blood. Release her. The fire of God burns from your head to your toe. There is no hiding place for you. I judge you by the name of the Lord God of heaven, that you will leave and never return.
To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
How many of us are sick in our bodies? You are trusting God for healing. Let me see your hands. Let me see your hands, please. Let's save time. All right. Just here. I want you to leave these people here. Don't rush. All of you, just come out and stand here quickly and I'll minister to you. Please, let's save time. You're going to lead us through powerful worship sessions, please. As we are having this, let's charge the atmosphere with very solid worship. No. Just find your way here. I'll pray for everybody. Please follow what the ushers and the protocol, whatever they tell you to do.
To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain,
to break every chain,
to break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain.
Hallelujah. Sister, look at me. God is not done with you yet. There is an angel standing close to you. And is pouring what looks like vials of oil. And this is breakthrough for your family. I see an angel pouring that oil. It comes on you now. Right now.
I hear the chains falling.
Hallelujah. Please, I'd like you to know, hear me, that the sickness that is oppressing you must leave. Hallelujah. What did I say? It must leave. That you remember that in Destiny Summit 2014, through the greatness of God's power, the enemies must be subdued. Now, because of time, there are some of you who are standing here just for sickness. But the anointing you will receive will go through every area of your life and produce the Garden of Eden. Are you getting me?
Yeah.
So you mustn't tell me what is wrong with you. If I don't ask you, no problem. Just be open. No matter what it is, I'm going to lay hands on everybody. As I lay my hands on you, I don't care what is wrong with your life. Spiritually, maritally, if there is a God in heaven, I'd like you to know that your night of visitation has come. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Be glorified. Praise the Lord. You are in this place, listen to me, and you are saying, man of God, I want to make my ways right with Jesus Christ. I'm tired of pretending it. I'm coming to Jesus because I mean business with Him. I've seen the miracles. I've seen the hand of God. I don't care whether you're a pastor, you're a healing evangelist, whatever you are. There are two categories of people I'm calling right now. The first category, they are the people who have never in their lives, never, you know it, you've never made a commitment for Jesus Christ. The second category, those who may have done what they think is altar call, but you know you are not serious. Please find your way and come and be on your knees here very quickly. Everyone, I'll just count three. If you are still seated, I assume that you have thought about it. One, there's nothing to be ashamed of. Two, talk to the Lord Jesus. He loves you. He loves you. Peradventure you are still in the crowd and the Lord is coming to you. Please, we are giving you a chance. Run and come and join them. There are some of you, you are seated there, but the Holy Ghost is telling you are supposed to be here. This is where you belong right now. There's no point pretending it. It's not compulsory. You can deceive men, but this is the beginning of an encounter, a genuine encounter. Hallelujah. Talk to Jesus. Those of us in the congregation who are soon rounding up, I'd like you to just pray, stretch your hands towards them and speak a word.
Take all of me, all of me, Lord. You have my everything. I give my everything.
I use my everything.
Receive my everything. Take my everything. Say,
take all of me. All of me, Lord. You have my everything. Take all of me.
Those of you in front, say after me, Lord Jesus. You're not reciting a poem. This is a dedication of your everything. Lord Jesus, I love you with all my heart. Tonight I have heard your word. I repent of my sins. I declare that Jesus is Lord of my life. From today,
I receive eternal life into my spirit. Forward ever, backward never. My name is in the book of life. The power of sin is broken over my life. Something is breaking in our life. There is a rope. As I'm twisting my hand, that's how the rope is removing from you. Release him right now. He's making a prayer of dedication. You must release him now. You must release him now. The same thing is happening to you, Mr. Man. Two of you. I lose that which ties your destiny. I lose it now. Because you belong to Christ by the blood, by the mystery of the blood. I silence everything that speaks against your life. Right now. Now! Father, I pray for these ones. They have come before you to make sincere commitments. I pray that you will make mighty men and women out of these ones. In the name of Jesus, let your Christian experience be authentic from tonight. That you will give him everything and you will live for him all the days of your life. I curse the power of sin over your life. And I declare that you are sealed with the blood. Look at me, my dear. You. Just look at me. I break this yoke that I see over your head. Right now. I break it. It never returns again. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I believe that there is what's the arrangement for them. Okay. Now, please, I'd like you to just rise up. Just follow this way. Is it this way? Okay, so all of you celebrate them. Just follow the brother. You have an information and then you'll be back to your seat. God bless you. Hallelujah. There's one last thing I'm going to do. We're out of time tonight. Now listen, this is not for everybody. Please don't be emotional about it. There are certain of you, in fact, I see about four people, but I know there may be more. There are four people that I see here. You saw me praying for you in a dream. You saw it. Four. Come and stay here. Exactly four. There is no reason why there are just four of you. Exactly four. Something will land on your head today that will change your life. Father, in the name of Jesus, that grace and that anointing that you have put upon them, as I lay my hands upon you, oh, let it come strong. I activate possibilities in your life. Take it now. Take it now. I activate your hands. May they be strong. Let a mighty anointing come upon you. Mighty anointing of the Holy Spirit. Mighty anointing. I open your eyes to spiritual things. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, for those of you who have not been committed in this ministry, hold on. For those of you who have not been committed in this ministry, I want you to know that this is not just a ministry that is just doing what everybody is doing. There is an agenda of the Spirit upon this land, and this ministry happens to be playing a major. See, they will not be able to contain themselves. You do not know what came upon them. This is not just an impartation. This is beyond an impartation. So for those of you who have not been committed to the meetings, when are the meeting days? Fridays. That's the day.
3:30 p.m. at Kwaibu Primary School, the UBE section.
Please, I want you to see this as the school of the Spirit. There are many of us in your entire family. You are the only one that is serious with the things of God. And God is giving you a prophetic platform to build yourself and to invite your friends. So beginning from when this summit is over, commit yourself. Learn. Again, we have come with some of our teachings from our ministry. They are all available and they are free. I believe that they will be given to the media arm and you can come and take it. Sit down like a school, like a student in the school of the Spirit. Don't be in a rush for ministry. Settle down and let the word of God do something in your spirit. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Aside from Pastor Alpha, all those who are actively in ministry, please come out and stand here. This is the last thing I'll do and then I'll leave. You know you are in ministry. Please, if you are not in ministry and you come out here, we'll send you back. So save yourself unnecessary embarrassment, please. If you are in ministry, come and take fresh fire for the next journey. Please make sure you are not just are they only ministry. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want you to know that this impartation is coming from the depth of my heart. Hallelujah. I don't do this because I'm necessarily better than you in any way. What you see is called an election of grace. Praise the Lord. We're talking with the pastor and his lovely wife over. They just came to say hello. And you know, and all of the great men and women of God, and we're also talking in the afternoon. And you see, this work of the kingdom is an election of grace. Is that true? It's an election of grace. Handle, even if it is two members you have to take care of, do ministry with integrity and truth. Don't fake anything. Don't be under pressure. All of this competition, I want to be this, I want to be this, throw away all of those things. Especially for those of us in the music ministry. How many of us are in the music ministry? Let me see your hands. Music ministry. I mean real gospel, not gospel or something else. Music ministry. Something will come upon you and you will begin to write spiritual songs. Spiritual songs. Hallelujah. Father, I pray, as I lay my hands on your people, please, I ask you in the name that is above all names, let something land upon their lives. I pray this from the very depths of my heart. It will be very fast, but brothers and sisters, you will never forget this meeting. Never forget this meeting. Where are you? Just very quickly, I'll lay my hands on you.
Prophetic fountains. Take worship to another dimension. In the name that is above all names, songs of the Spirit. Songs of the Spirit. Help her, please hold that. In the name of Jesus, I activate dimensions in you. I activate dimensions by the power of the Holy Ghost. By the power of the Holy Ghost. By the power of the Holy Ghost. Power of the Holy Ghost. Release her and let her serve the Lord. I curse you. Release her now and let her serve the Lord. By the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Daddy, by the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit. I activate prophetic fountains. in the name of the Lord Jesus, from your spirit. I command that you begin to speak forth the mysteries of the spirit. It will come in dreams. You will hear sounds in the spirit. In the name that is above all names. In the name that is above all names. I activate anointings. I activate dimensions of operation in the spirit. Are they part of it? Okay. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. We had a great stay. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord honor you. May He open up doors for you. Whatever has become a limitation in your life, I prophesy over your life right now. Let that door be opened in the name of Jesus. I pray that all through the remaining part of this conference, the hand of the Lord is strong upon your life. Go and do exploits for the kingdom in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Believe you have been blessed by this message. For additional information, you can visit us on Facebook on www.facebook.com/KoinoniaCharity Network International. Or follow us on Twitter, www.twitter.com/KoinoniaCharity. You can also download our messages on www.foreshared.com. Parenting Network International, replicating the fullness of God's life on earth.